We're going to stand for the verses 4 and 5, and then our brother Matthew's going to come with the scripture reading and the message from God's Word. The verses 4 and 5.
If you can turn with me in God's Word tonight to 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3. And for sake of time, we will just read together from verse 4 to verse 8. 1 John chapter 3, reading together from verse 4. And the Word of God says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Amen, and we know that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Let's just commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Our God in heaven, we do ask as we come to the word of God, we pray, Lord, that you would open up the scriptures and teach us tonight. And Father, we pray that, Lord, you would give to us what we need to understand thy word. But even more than that, Lord, that we might apply it to our own hearts. Lord, we thank thee for the inerrancy of thy word. We thank thee that it is divine truth. Oh, Father, help us tonight to be attentive to thy word. Help me tonight to preach and to bring a word in season. And Lord, I ask all these things in the precious name of Christ. Amen. I want to speak tonight upon the subject of Christ's victorious crosswork. Christ's victorious crosswork. Contrary to what it would have seemed at the time, standing before the cross, if we could travel back in time and stand in front of the cross, see the two thieves beside the Lord, one on his right hand and one on the left. And we focus our attention upon the one who is in the center cross. And we look upon him and we see him bleeding, nailed to a cross. The Bible records that his visage was marred more than any man. And we listen to what is being said around us. We hear the mocking of the Pharisees and the scribes. We hear the jeers of the Roman soldiers. And of those that walk past wagging their heads. And we get the sense as we stand there that the Lord has come to an end. It seems as if this is a great defeat happening before our very eyes. And yet I submit to you tonight, and the Word of God shows to us, that that is exactly the opposite to what was truly happening. Because at the cross, we see one of the greatest victories that ever has been won in all of history. It doesn't matter what battles in history that we consider, none of them was like this victory. Nothing more tremendous was accomplished than what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished at Calvary. This was the greatest victory that anyone could ever imagine or that anyone could ever think of. There are many things that we could think of in regards to Christ's victorious cross work. But I want to focus tonight especially upon the victory that Christ wrought at Calvary over the devil. You see, our text in verse 8 says, in the second part, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Victory was won at the cross, where Christ won the battle against the devil. And his works, his plans, his purposes were all defeated. And Christ came from that battle victorious, overcoming death, overcoming Satan, and rising again from the dead in great power and glory and victory. You see, for us today, it is important that we soak ourselves in this great truth, and we consider it in our hearts, because Christ's victory over the devil at Calvary has a wonderful meaning for you and for me. You see, in these verses, the apostle is speaking of practicing or committing sin. He's speaking of habitual sin. And he's saying that that lifestyle should not be characteristic of the believer. And how is this possible? Well, he explains it very clearly. If you look in verse 5, he says, "Ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins." And verse 8, our text, says that he was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And so the apostle here is bringing encouragement to his readers, showing them that a victorious Christian life is possible because of the work and the victory of Jesus Christ on the cross. You see, because of the victory of Christ over the devil, the believer can enjoy victory over sin. So today I want to focus upon this verse, verse 8 of chapter 3. And I want to just draw out the meaning of that final phrase, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." I want you to see firstly tonight the purpose of Christ. The purpose of Christ. We read in verse 8, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested." You see, Christ came into this world to reverse the effects of the fall, that is, the consequences of the devil's deception and Adam's subsequent fall into sin and rebellion against God. You see, by Adam's sin, man fell into a state of total depravity and total inability. And so the devil's work in the fall of man was to lead Adam into doubting God's word. You recall the words, "Hath God said?" And the devil was causing Adam and trying to make him to doubt God's word. And eventually that led to the very breaking of God's law. And so the purpose of the devil, as the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 10 verse 10, he said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." And there we see in right there at the beginning of history, at the fall of man, we see the objective of the devil. We see his aim. It is to destroy men and to destroy their souls in hell forever. That is why the devil is there. That is his aim and objective. It is the destruction of men. You see, the Bible describes him as the father of lies. He's described as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so the objective of Satan in this world today is to send men into the paths of sin that takes them down into a lost eternity. And yet, the wondrous thing is that the purpose of Christ is entirely different. In John 10 and verse 10, the Lord went on and he said, I am come that ye might have life and have it more abundantly. The devil brings death, but Christ brings life. You see, immediately after Adam sinned, the Lord revealed his purpose and intention to redeem a people to himself. The words of Genesis 3 and verse 15, there is the great promise of the Redeemer who would bruise the serpent's head. In other words, Christ would destroy the works of the devil. He would give to the devil the death blow, and the Lord's purposes would be achieved. And history shows to us that the devil knew this. And that is why he tried to destroy Christ at his birth. That is why he tried to destroy Christ during his ministry. And the devil sought to destroy Christ at the cross. And yet the wondrous thing is that Christ gained the victory over the devil. You see, the Lord came in humiliation to this world. And listen to me tonight, for one express purpose, and one only, and that was to destroy the works of the devil by offering himself for our sin and to redeem a people to himself. That is the purpose of Christ, to redeem, to deliver men and women from sin, to defeat the works of the devil. And dear people, tonight, that was what was accomplished on the cross, the destruction of the works of the devil. We've seen the purpose of Christ, but then secondly, the manifestation of Christ. In verse 8 we read, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested. Now the Lord's manifestation was to fulfill his purpose of redemption. If you look with me in Galatians chapter 4, and you will see this. Galatians chapter 4 and verses 4 and 5. And we read there, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. So there in those words we have the manifestation of Christ coming to this earth as a man. But what's the purpose? Why has he been manifested? In verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And there we see that the manifestation of Christ was for the redemption of his own people. That is why he was manifested. That is why he came into this world. Now the word manifested in our text, in verse 8, it means to render apparent. And thus it confirms to us that Christ existed before his first advent. You see, there are those who will teach that the Lord did not exist before his birth, that he was created and came into being at his incarnation. But yet that is a denial of the deity of Christ, because the manifestation of Christ, his incarnation, did not bring him into existence, but he merely manifested himself to us in a physical form. You see, he was rendered apparent to us. One who previously existed in all eternity with God the Father, because the one who was manifested was the eternal Son of God. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the ultimate revelation of redemption, because he is the one spoken of by the law and the prophets and the Psalms. He is the ultimate revelation of redemption, because he was manifested to redeem his people, to die upon the cross. You see, the manifestation of Christ at the incarnation, it indicated that God's promises were about to be fulfilled in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that redemption would be wrought on our behalf. If you look with me in the same chapter in verse 5, you will notice that the same word is used. It says there that you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. You see, there's the purpose for the manifestation of Christ. Why was he manifested? To take away our sins. See, our greatest need was for one who could take away our sins and suffer on our behalf. And yet it is not a wonder that the only one who could do so was the one who came to take away our sins. See, it says there in verse 5, the final phrase, "And in him is no sin." And there is the necessary qualifications, if we could describe it such. For one to take away our sins, he himself must be sinless. And yet this is what we read of Christ. Oh, we should be so thankful tonight and rejoice that the only one who could redeem us was manifested to take away our sins. And then thirdly tonight, we've seen the purpose and the manifestation of Christ. I want you to see with me the success of Christ. The success of Christ. Verse 8 we read, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." You see, the Lord Jesus Christ defeated the devil at the cross, and he dealt with sin forever for the people of God. And as I said in my introduction, instead of the cross being a place of defeat, it was in fact a place of victory, a place of success for Christ, because it was there that he dealt a death blow to the evil one. You see, the devil seeks to keep men and women bound under their sin and captives to their depraved nature. And yet, as the hymn writer says, Christ breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. You see, Christ releases men. He frees them from their bondage. That's what redemption means. It's the freeing and the releasing of sinners. You see, in Matthew 12 and verse 29, the Lord references his work of binding the devil by his death upon the cross. If you look with me in Matthew chapter 12, Matthew 12 and verse 29, the Lord says, "Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house?" You see, when the Lord speaks here of the spoiling the goods of the strong man, he is referring to the saving and the redeeming of his and delivering of his chosen people. You see, Satan is the strong man, and his goods are lost men and women. And each time a lost sinner is won to Christ, more of Satan's goods are taken away from him. If you look with me in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, you will see this very point. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, we read, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." There we see that those of us who formerly were unsaved were part of what is described as the kingdom of darkness, the power of darkness. We belong to the devil. We followed his ways. And yet because of what Christ has done at Calvary, we have been translated into his kingdom. And therefore we no longer belong to the devil, but we belong to Jesus Christ, because he is the one who has died for us. He is the one who has delivered us. You see, once we were the enemies of God, once we were serving the devil and sin, but yet God has reconciled us to himself by the death of his Son. You see, what on the cross, the Lord didn't just make salvation possible. He didn't just die upon the cross for all men. He didn't die just a general death and then leave it up to us. But his death was effective and sufficient, because as his name teaches us, he shall save his people from their sins. And so when we think about what was accomplished upon the cross, we see a victorious and complete sacrifice for all time. And we see that the work has been completed. You see, Christ's death and work upon the cross was a success. It wasn't a failure. A victory was won. The atonement was made, because God's wrath was appeased by the death of his Son. And once God's wrath has been appeased, once satisfaction has been made, there is to be no more wrath, because sin has been dealt with once for his people. You see, once God's wrath has been poured out for your sin, it has been poured out. And that is the blessing for you and for me, is that if we are in Christ, the wrath that we deserve has been poured out upon Christ. There is not one cent, if we could describe it in that way, of wrath left for us. It has been taken and dealt with entirely by the work of Christ. And so the wondrous thing for us is that Christ's victory over the devil is complete. And his works of sin and death and deception are destroyed by the sacrifice and death of Jesus Christ. And so let me say to you tonight, dear believer, you should be rejoicing. Rejoicing in the cross work of Christ. And live in the reality of what it means for you. Because if you're a believer here tonight, your sin has been dealt with. It's been dealt with. And that sin will never be brought against you. In Romans 8 we read, "There is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." And so you realize tonight there's no condemnation on you, because what Christ accomplished on the cross was the satisfaction for sin. And there's no more wrath for you. What a blessing that is to us. What a victory Christ wore on Calvary. This is no failure. This is no mere attempt to try and save men. This is not a feeble effort to make salvation possible and hope that some men might receive it. This is victory. This is salvation, completed by the love and mercy and grace of God. Oh, what a Saviour we have. And tonight when we consider the purpose and manifestation and success of Christ, what is our reaction to this? Well, I submit to you tonight that our reaction should be worship. Worship. Do these things cause your heart to draw near to God in worship? Does it cause your heart to well in love for Christ? Because the work of Christ upon the cross has enabled you and me to draw near to God. It has made peace between those parties that were once enemies, once at enmity with each other. You see, there is no excuse for us who are in Christ not to draw near to God, not to worship Him, not to honor Him, because peace has been made. God hath reconciled us to Himself by the death of His Son. Or do you see tonight that the veil has been rent? Access into the very throne room and presence of God. And so you and I should not be hesitant or lagging back. We should be drawing near in worship and honor and in service for the one who redeemed us, for the one who has done such wondrous works. See, that should be the reaction. Let me say to you tonight that if that is not your reaction, perhaps it is because you have not fully grasped all that Christ accomplished on the cross. And if that is the case, let us look more and more to the cross. Let us study it. Let us soak our minds in it. Let us endeavor to understand and to appreciate within our own hearts the victory that Christ wrought at Calvary. Because when we begin to understand it, it will affect our relationship entirely with God. You see, for us here who are believers, the great truth of Christ destroying the works of the devil, it should be a great motivation for us for holiness and purity of life. You see, the Apostle John is saying that Christ has destroyed the works of the devil, and therefore we can live a victorious Christian life. Not because you're trying in your own strength, but because you are relying upon the victory of the cross. That's where you receive the power and the strength. You see, Christ's power is greater than the devil's power. And it is through the Lord Jesus Christ alone that we can overcome the accuser of the brethren. And so tonight, if you are seeking to have that power and help to overcome sin in your life, then look to Calvary, look to the cross, look to the Savior, and live in the reality of what has been accomplished for you and for me at Calvary. All these are wondrous things. What a Savior we have. What a victory He wrought on Calvary. All that we might rejoice in it. The theme of heaven is the victory and the praise of the death of Christ and the marvelous work that He did, the shedding of His precious blood to redeem sinners like you and I. Well, may God grant us help to appreciate what has been done for us, and to live, to honour, to live for God, to serve Him in these days. I trust that this has been an encouragement to you, and that God would bless His word to our hearts. Well, would you like to come and close the meeting, or would you like me to?
You can just close
the prayer. All right. Let's just bow together in prayer. God in heaven, we do thank Thee for Thy word to us. Lord, we thank Thee for the great victory of Calvary. We thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank Thee that He willingly gave His life to save sinners. And Lord, we pray that, Father, You'd help us in our daily walk with Thee, Lord, to forsake sin and to live in the power of Christ. Oh Lord, we pray that You'd bless us now as we part. Give us safe travelling. Lord, we pray for, Lord, You give us grace as we go to Ellenbrook now. And Father, we pray You'd bless in the preaching of the word tonight. And Father, keep us all this week, we pray. And Lord, may Thy word linger on in our hearts. And Father, may we have blessed communion with Thee. So Lord, bless us now as we part. And we ask all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.